infinite complacence, people went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
So on this edition of Into the Fray, I finally welcome back John Paul Capice, MTS. What does that stand for, John Paul?
Masters of Theological Studies.
So intimidating, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It was to me in the beginning, as you well know. I've said it many a times, but no, man, welcome back. It's been quite a long time since you and I have chatted for Maine. We've actually had a couple chats now with patrons only, and I brought you on Maine, at least this first part of this next section, because I think we're going to have at least one other subsequent episode, if not a third, which is what we usually like to do, the old hat trick trifecta, right, is especially one of the encounters that you shared with the patrons last time on the live chat was one of your own. Right, and you're a lot like me. When we were younger, we had kind of this one-off strange experience, right, that made us realize, oh, shiz, there's a whole lot of other things out there we don't quite understand. For this one, this is very recent. It's a very different experience, and I thought it was important that you share it on Maine, because I think the argument could come up that you have a label for it, right? Because it hits certain points. But I think that it could open up, much as it did on the patron-only live chat, it opened up other avenues of what it could be, right? It really got a great discussion going. And I thought that was important to share for Maine. Sorry, that was a very long-winded welcome back. But I feel like you and I have been chatting quite a bit. We text, we chat for patron only stuff, but finally folks get to hear you back on Maine. So welcome back.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was listening to the first episode we did, and it was all about that little gremlin I saw. And, you know, it was a little bit about theology and kind of set the stage for our relationship, I guess you would call it. But yeah, it was really about that one kind of confirmation experience that I had. And I think I even said in that episode that I'm kind of a paranormal black hole. And, you know, for this to happen within the last 2 years, it's poignant. It seems directed. You know, I know one of the things that we talked about in the Patreon group was, you know, and we talked about it on the live feed, was my interaction with that lady who was possessed. And, you know, I came away from that kind of a different person. I'll go into it when we go into that story, but I kind of almost feel like I'm a bit directed at this point. You know, something I always kind of thought would happen. So, yeah, I mean, so I have two stories, and we'll get into my dad's first if you want.
Yeah, let's talk about your dad's first. And before we get there, I'm pretty sure that I asked this, but it was, as you say, quite a long while ago. So it's for my own memory as well. When it came to what you saw in your parents' bedroom that morning, did you talk to your, and specifically your dad, I suppose, because of what we're going to cover here in a few minutes, how much did you tell your dad about this gremlin / demon, whatever the hell that thing was? And by the way, if you guys go to that, I did update the episode image for that, right? I forget what that is. I'm pretty sure it's Chris Holmes.
Yes.
Yeah, he did a rendition. a pretty damn good one of what you say that you saw, right? So if anyone's interested in that, you can go to intothefrayradio.com and check that out. You know the episode number? Look how good I am at this.
Oh my God. What is it, 76, 77?
It's in the 70s, but I'm not going to remember which one. I would link it. I always have to say that because I never remember. Yeah, you guys can check out their rendition. But okay, so you see this thing, gremlin, demon, whatever. Did you talk to your dad about this, and what did he say about this sighting?
At the time, no. It took me some time to get some paranormal understanding under my legs. So I don't think I talked to him until I was into my teens, which is when he started talking to me about some other weird things, stuff that happened around this house that I didn't take necessarily seriously. You know, I mean, he was saying that he was home one night and he saw like three little figures walk by the door. And I never took that account seriously because he watches TV and he falls asleep and then he locks the doors. And this is when I was growing up and we were living together and things like that. But it wasn't until like maybe it was less than 2 years ago, maybe like a year and a half ago, when, you know, I was talking to him about like shadow figures and things like that and different type of representation of demonology and demons and things like that. And I mentioned the Hat Man. I was like, you know, they can manifest different ways, like a really tall man wearing a fedora. And my dad's like, he just like out of nowhere, he's like, I saw a really tall dude wearing a fedora. And I was like, wait, what? And, you know, this is one of those things where he's told me this story before, but it really hasn't had any significance until now. You know, it's like, I've heard this story growing up, like, oh, you know, me and so-and-so were coming home and we saw this weird thing and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and that was like maybe the reaction I had when I was 15. But now that I'm like 42, it's a different reaction because of what I learned and what I've studied. But yeah, he's got a pretty verbatim account of some creepy stuff going on, you know, 1960s. Yeah, we started chopping it up and, you know, he was very open and honest. I mean, my dad has no reason to lie to me, and he was just kind of telling me about what happened when he was walking home. So I can share that with you if you want.
Please do.
All right, so I guess it's 1960 because he said he was about 12 13, which should put him in 1960. So Providence, Rhode Island, circa 1960, if I may. He's heading home from the boys club, which is basically the YMCA, and it's dark out, and he's walking home. And so this is, I mean, I don't want to get too like geographical specific, but it is kind of important, like if you're around this area. But it's Vandy Water Street in North Providence, like kind of the Admiral Street network of, you know, the city. And he was walking home with his friend Stretch, who I don't even know his name. My dad just refers to him as Stretch because they all had nicknames. So, you know, anyway, Vandy Water Street is well lit. So it's dark out and the street is well lit. It's kind of a main road, but nobody's on it at whatever, dusk or whatever. And he just said it was dark and no one was driving around. And, you know, they have to like look when they cross the road, you know, it's not a major intersection. They just kind of look left, look right, and then just cross the road. They came to another spot and they looked down the road and they saw this guy kind of hanging out underneath a lamppost. Or a streetlight, whatever you want to call it. And apparently this caused them great consternation because this guy was an imposing figure from like a long distance away. And I asked my dad, I was like, what do you remember? He was like, I just remember him being really dark. Like he was wearing all sorts of dark clothes and he was wearing a hat, like a fedora type hat, which is cliche, but that's what he said. Like a flat brimmed hat. You know, the one thing that stood out to my dad was that his waist came up to the roof of the car. Like the roof, not the hood, not the bonnet, you know, not the trunk, the roof. And I was like, well, was he standing, and, you know, me being, you know, all investigatory or whatever. I was like, well, was he standing on the sidewalk? Because that gives leverage, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, he was standing on the sidewalk, but he was still way too tall. And apparently this made an impression on them. So they kind of freeze and they look at this person. I'm like, well, was he standing next to a car? Was he standing next to a truck? What kind of car? Like, I'm grilling my old man. And my old man's not having. He's like, look. He's like, I look down the road. I see this really tall dude standing next to a car. It's probably an old Buick or something. And he's, you know, he's like waist high with the roof. And they're looking at him. And he's under a streetlight. He made a point of telling me this. That he was under a streetlight, but they couldn't. He was all dark. And I'm like, well, this is classic, like shadow figure, hat man, you know, whatever, metaphor, whatever. And I'm like, what'd you do? He was like, we bolted, like fast. So him and Stretch just bolt to the next intersection. And when they turn around, and he made a very point of saying this to me, you know, a very strong point of saying, when we turned around, he was at the block where we were standing watching him. So if you can imagine, you come up on a block, you take a left, you take a right, you're crossing the street, you see something you don't really want to see, or you see something that's kind of like weird. And then you're like, you know, screw this, I'm out of here. And then you bolt, whatever, 30 feet, 40 feet to the next block, you turn around and that figure is there on the back block where you were standing. And you're like, well, how did it get there? I didn't see it run after us. So I don't know what he saw. He was just describing this whole series of events to me. And as I was describing to him some of the things about shadow figures and what they can and cannot do, and just kind of the folklore of the whole demonology thing that I do. I don't know. It struck me as like a classic kind of thing. Two kids coming home at night. They see a figure. They freak out. They run. And then all of a sudden the figure's behind them. And it was just kind of like too real to make up, you know, especially because my dad just kind of forgot about it until I brought it up to him. And he was like, you know, and it was because I told him, I was like, oh, you know, I've been recording all these episodes, but, you know, with you and doing all these things. And, you know, it just kind of popped into his head when I started talking about this stuff. So it's kind of an ancillary story in the sense that it's not my experience. It's the experience of someone I know, but it's the experience of my father. So obviously I trust him, but it's still like, it's like a very pigeonholed classic story of a shadow figure, you know, experience or encounter. Where you're, you know, you have your whatever young kids walking home and they see a figure and it's just completely weird and completely misshapen and completely out of sync with reality. And they go to remove themselves from reality and say, hey, let's just run. And then all of a sudden this thing is kind of behind them in a kind of, you know, paranormal way, which will follow me into the next story. You know, how they can just kind of appear at certain points. You know, that kind of freaked him and his friend out. That to me was, you know, when he was telling me the story, freaked him out the most, was that they bolted and they turned around and it was like right there where they were standing and there's no reason for it to be there. So I think that gives it some weight. I also think the fact that like he doesn't talk about it and doesn't care about it unless you kind of prod him on it, gives it some weight. I think that was one of the really interesting points of, you know, and my dad is very open to this type of thing, you know, which is cool. Now in his, you know, he's like in his 80s, but he's always been open to this type of thing. And he's never kind of closed it off and said, yeah, it was some guy or some tall guy or whatever. You know, he's always left it open to his potential imagination or potential whatever to saying, yeah, I don't know what that was. So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool story.
Well, and as you kind of already hinted, and without giving anything away, really, the movements of this quote-unquote hat man, the tall dude, sounds almost spot on to what you're going to be discussing next, which is your own experience. Now, did they have any feelings of dread before and up until they bolted, of course? You know, was there this overwhelming feeling of dread that people can get when it comes to shadow figures and Hat Man, things like that?
I don't know. He didn't mention it. And, you know, I know today, I think, you know, and I'm kind of being colloquial, people are more in tune with their kind of paranormal side, where if they see something weird, they kind of reach in and say, okay, how is this affecting me? You know, in a spiritual way, in an emotional way. That's what I did in my last encounter. But I don't think necessarily he was doing that, especially at that age, you know, over 13. I think he was just reacting to a certain stimuli. But it's interesting to me that stimuli is an old trope in demonology, right? Like being the hat man, the shadow figure, that type of thing. So I was just not expecting that. But no, I don't think he was expecting anything untoward. And I don't think he suffered anything retrograde.
JP, what about the three? You mentioned these three dark figures he's seen kind of out of the corner of his eye or something. Do you think that's related at all? What does he say about these things?
You know, that is so weird. When I told him about seeing the little gremlin, because I told them both, my mom and dad, about seeing that little weird chubby thing. And my dad kind of countered with, oh, yeah, you know, I was home one night, because when we were younger, we didn't, like, this is hard to explain. we lived in West Greenwich, but we worked in Providence. So we were commuting back and forth. And, you know, my dad worked there. My mom owned a hair salon. I was going to school at a Catholic school, you know, when I was, like, in kindergarten. And we just, you know, hopped on 95 and drove down into the woods. And that was our home. And I was sharing with my mom and dad this, like, weird little creepy thing that I saw. And my dad was like, I saw these little three people walk by the door once. I was like, wait a minute, what? And now this is going back a while. You know, he swears, and this is going back probably 20 years. I mean, we were still living in, they were still living in West Greenwich. So it's a raised ranch. I don't know if I can explain that other than look it up. There's three doors, a front door, a side door, a back door. And the side door is level with the ground, which is usually on level with a finished basement, which we had at the time. And that was a place where my dad used to kind of chill and, you know, watch TV or whatever. It's funny because he would always close the side door. And he says, and this is just him, and I've pressed him on this, and he says, like, his story hasn't changed, that he was shutting off the lights and he was shutting off the TV, making sure everything's locked up downstairs. And, you know, the side door was open. And as he's approaching the side door, he said he saw three little people in robes run by. And I asked him, and I pressed him on this. And you have to understand, my dad he's a musician. He was a conductor of the Rhode Island Philharmonic for at least a year before they threw him out. You know, I was like, what do you mean three little people running by? And he was like, I don't know, three little people. And then he made, like, this little noise, like, dee-de-doo-de-dee. And I, you know, to me, that makes sense. No,
you're right.
Dad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what it would make. Like, you know, like three little weirdos in, like, cloak, just dee-de-doo-de-doo-de-doo. And that freaked it out even more for me, which is pretty cool. But, like, he's like, no. And, like, you know, to this day, that kind of stands out as something that he kind of saw out of his corner of his eye or something. Because he doesn't put a lot of stock in it. But he does put a lot of weight behind what he saw with him in the stretch. His friend Stretch, which I don't know, but he will still recall seeing those three little figures.
Creepy that they were in robes. So he didn't, it was a little bit more than out of the corner of his eye, because usually that's like a fleeting, like, you, by the time you catch the motion and have the, you know, the time to turn, it's gone. Sounds like he saw a little bit more of it than that, because he noticed these creepy little things in robes.
It's the thing. It's like, I don't know, like, how much his imagination can take flight with this stuff. Because he is, like I said, he's a musician. He's an imaginative character. You know, he may have saw something out of the corner of his eye and just imagined, you know, these little demons, like, doing a footsie. But either way, it creeps me out. It's every time I go to my parents' house, it creeps me the hell out.
Well, yeah, and also in regards to this tall hat man, I'm wondering if he's like, oh, how cute. Your nickname is Stretch? Well, no, my nickname should be Stretch, okay?
And it's funny, to this day, I have no idea what that person's first name is.
Really? It's probably better that way. It makes the story so much better. Like, I don't even know who that is. That's Stretch. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it's just Stretch. I'm like, why did you call him Stretch? And my dad's like, because he was tall. I'm like, okay.
Not as tall, like, as the hat man. But see, that's something that people need to put in their minds, you know, as far as, you know, what your dad was saying about, no, this wasn't just a tall dude, like, his waist is up to the roof of a freaking car.
The point is that he was hanging out with a tall dude.
Yeah.
And that they were both looking down the side road. I mean, they were walking up Vandy Water Street, which I know I'm getting extremely technical, which I think people like me for. I like to get extremely technical. So, like I said, Providence, circa 1960. We're talking like Eagle Park, Vandy Water Street. I know there's like one person who's jumping up and down in your audience.
Going, literally, oh, probably one that you're mentioning. What is the street called? Vandy Waters?
Yes, it's been.
Yeah. Well, you made one person happy at least on this edition, okay? Yeah. So we're going to bank that.
Thank you. So, yeah, Vandy Water Street, Douglas Ave, it's like the Eagle Park neighborhood. I did not expect them to come up with, I mean, that house, that, like, I mean, it was my grandmother's house. Like, if there was ever a haunted house, it would be that. I never saw anything weird in that house, nor did he. You know, I mean, the only weird experience that he had, beyond the little weird, creepy gremlins, was in that house, you know, or in that neighborhood, I should say. And the fact that it manifested itself in the neighborhood is really creepy to me. You know, I mean, the old tropes and gamuts of shadow figures and Hat Man and, you know, shadow figures missing arms and missing bodies and missing body parts, to manifest that on the street is, like, pretty intense. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a really cool story, especially when it was unsolicited. You know, I didn't go up and ask him, I said, "Dad, did you have any weird stories?" You know, he just said to me, like, as I was recording with you, I was like, "Yeah, you know, we were talking about X, Y, and Z," like I said. And he was like, "I saw a shadow figure." I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, that's how organically it happened. You know, it was just kind of one of those things. It was like, I did not know this happened to him. I'm sure I heard it, like I said, and kind of passed it off. But I didn't really pay attention to it until, you know, recently, which is, it's cool to kind of have that relationship. Because my dad was the one who turned me on to unsolved mysteries and all this other creepy stuff that got me involved in the paranormal and whatnot.
Well, those little SHITSs with the robes can just stay away. And your gremlin. I think you've seen enough of that as well. So one and done is probably enough for you, huh?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Except it's not done, because what we're going to talk about next, I already know this story. And so did, and what's that?
You could do your entire show just on this story.
Well, yeah, that's why it's kind of whittled down for this edition, right? Like, we usually have these 4-hour-long diatribes of we go off on tangents, but this one's very focused, and there's a reason for that, and that's because this next encounter is your own, and you admitted under patron live chat oath that it really effing terrified you. And, okay, so before we really go there, though, can you describe, and I don't need exactly where you live or anything, but just the rurality of it, you know, and describe, especially because she was there with you, your dog, your German Shepherd. She is a badass. You know, talk about those things, her demeanor, how alert she is, you know, her level of protectiveness of you, things like that. And yeah, just this area and your everyday things, because that's what you were doing, is something that you do every day.
That's what makes it so freaking scary. I mean, this is, when I first talked to you, I was like, you may even quote that show of me saying I'm a paranormal black hole. Like, nothing has ever happened to me besides that gremlin incident. But since I met the creepy possessed lady, which we talked about on the Patreon, things have been weird, like legit weird. You know, where I live is, I live on the I-95 corridor. You know, I-95 cuts right through my backyard, like right through my backyard. It's weird, I guess. I go back and forth on how I feel about living on a 95 border town. Like, on one hand, I know that the FBI keeps a list of serial killers that are active on the I-95 corridor, and they are interacting with my police station when they find body parts on the side of the road. Like, I know that that is a reality. And there is a truck stop literally 1 mile from my house. So I know this is all a reality. If you've ever traveled from New York to Boston on the I-95 corridor, you've come within 2 miles of my house. So, you know, in that sense, it's like, oh, I know where you live. But in the other sense, it's like, I'm just a border town. I'm just a corridor town. There's so many towns that the highway just carves through. And you don't give a second thought unless you actually need to stop there, you know? So that's where I live. I live in, you know, a weird little border town on, you know, Rhode Island, Connecticut line that's through the I-95 corridor. But what I love about living here is the history, and, you know, we'll get into that, and, you know, other episodes and things like that. It's very special growing up on the East Coast, especially this time of year and the history we have and things like that. But it's creepy. I mean, it's just creepy, you know. The United States was founded on this side of the world, well, the side of the country, if you will. My brother's house was 35. You know, that's like what, 50, 40 years before we were a country. And that's my brother's house. This isn't anything special, right? This isn't like I'm staying in a cool hotel or something. No, my brother, you know, his house is like 300 years old, you know. So, when I hear people talk about, oh my God, my house is haunted, it's 100 years old, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's all relative, which is cool, that's fine. But you got to understand, like, on every block, there's a house that's 200, 300 years old in this part of the country. And I love that. You know, I think that's going to replicate in what we're doing for the patrons and Halloween and things like that. So yeah, so you have all this, and this happened almost exactly a year ago. It was probably September, October. So that's where I live. The dog, I spent a lot of time and money training this dog to kind of be a heat-seeking missile for me if, you know, I ever got into a jam. You know, a lot of time, a lot of money training the dog. And she's fast asleep right now. But anyway, when I, you know, we go on hikes, we do what we can, we get our exercise, blah blah blah. But the one thing we always do, you know, when I come home is we walk through the woods. There's a, you know, a little path, and you know, I kind of backed and slashed a path, and there's like a little, I don't even know what to call this, like a hill and then another hill, a holler. There it is. So there's like a little holler. I'm not from the south, so forgive me. But you know, you go for a walk, there's a little holler, and then you go up on the hill, and then there's another little divot, and then you go up back up on the hill, and there's like a little cow pasture. And then you go back and you do this a couple of times, you get a couple miles in, and the dog gets some exercise, and you know, you go on your walk after work, and it's all very cool and very good. And I've been doing this forever, like for the past 8 years, I've been doing this with this dog. Like she knows the land, she knows the walk. There's no collar, there's no leash. It's just her going off, doing whatever she wants to do, and it's me just being there with her so she can freak out and kind of run around. But to that end, I spend a lot of money training this dog to do, you know, certain things, which are hang out and run around and have a good time. But when it's our property, our house, she's a guard dog. I don't know how, you know, to say that. I feel like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, it's nice to have a dog that kind of looks out for you. But that was the whole point, is that she kind of watches out for me and I watch out for her. So that's it. That's the setup, I guess.
No, that's perfect. That's what we needed to hear. 'Cause yeah, your dog is just, I mean, I know quite a bit about the dog, just from even, you know, you've sent me recordings and stuff, and then you'll be de like describing what she's doing in the background, and she's basically just on her shit, right? I mean, she's doing either what you're telling her to do or what she wants to do, which within bounds, right? And what she loves to do is chase animals. And she's very alert. She's always on top of things like that, literally sometimes. I know that she's quite the little huntress, if you allow her to be. So she's just a very, very smart dog. There's a reason that police officers utilize Belgian Malinois and they utilize German Shepherds.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You know, that's funny. It's true because my neighbor has Malamutes. And once in a while, we meet while we're walking. And the dogs just want to rip each other to pieces. It's so weird. Like, they're so chill. It's all good. And then when you get between, like, you know, my neighbors, I don't want to swear on the live feed, so I won't. He's kind of a jerk. So he kind of owns Malamutes as like a status symbol. And, you know, whenever we walk them, it's just, it sucks. You know, these dogs in the wrong hands suck. I don't know how else to say it. You know, you got to run them like crazy. They have so much energy. You know, my vet told me to walk her off leash so she could get lots of stimulus. And like, I mean, dogs get so much exercise and so much energy when they're just walking off leash. Anyway, but the point is she's getting old. You know, she's about 10 years old now. I guess what we're getting at with this story, which I will tell, is the fact that she did not pee on anything that was happening during what I was experiencing, which is so, so far from anything I've ever experienced with her. Generally, if something weird is happening in the woods, and, you know, weird can be like a squirrel running around or a rabbit or just anything, like just, or maybe another hiker coming down the trail, like she reacts to that and she stops and, you know, I can harness her up. You know, if I see someone, I can call her back to me and I can harness her. Yeah, I don't know. This whole situation that I witnessed last year freaked me out on a level that, it's hard to come to terms with.
Well, yeah, let's stop teasing people with it, huh? Let's go ahead and tell the story. They're like, come on, right. You guys, we get it. They're hating on both of us right now.
I know they are.
Sorry, guys. It's just, you know, sometimes the setup is importante for these stories. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So I'm doing one of these walks with the dog. Like, I come home from work. We walk the dog. You know, we go back to the cow pasture and back twice. It's 1 mile. And it's probably September because it was still light, but it was kind of dusk. You know, I'm walking back there with the dog and I get to this. It's so hard to explain. So I'm at the top of the hill, right? So I got to go through the valley and then go up the other side and then I'm at the cow pasture. So I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of at the top of the hill and I hear crying. I hear legit crying, like sobbing. And there were words. There was like, you know, it was crying. It was a kid crying. I don't know how else to explain it. And then the kid was saying, I'm scared. Take me home. So in the midst of like a child crying, like, you know, I'm scared, take me home. Like, this is what I'm hearing. And I freak out, right? Because there shouldn't be any kids behind my house. There's no one in my vicinity who has kids. You know, I know all my neighbors. There are no children in my neighborhood. But there's a child back here where I walk every day. So my eyes are scanning the woods, right? And I'm like, what is going on? And I see a kid who couldn't be more than 10 or 12. And this is just guesstimating, like totally, because this is all just a reaction because I did not stick around to find out anything. So, you know, I see what looks to be 10 to 12 year old child in a red hoodie leaning against the pine tree. And he's got to be like 100 yards away from me. But his crying is like 20 yards away from me, if that makes sense. Like, his crying is like in my head. It's in my face. It's in my ear. And like, he's crying. Like, I can hear him. But he's like that far away. So that was weird. Just right off the bat that I could hear him. And then I'm scanning the woods. And then I see a kid in a hoodie leaning against a tree, seemingly talking. I'm scared. I want to go home. But I can hear him at full volume, which is weird. And this whole time, the dog is just not reacting, right? The dog is just playing. She's just chewing on toys. So, because I always have one eye on the dog, like, especially when I see people, right? Because when I see people, it means, you know, hook the dog up to the collar, right? Like, you know, put her on a leash. We're good. Let people hike by. Like, I am, like, I got my head on a swivel out there because I don't want my dog to bite someone. So I see a kid and I'm looking for my dog and my dog is gone. Like she's just hanging out, eating roots or whatever she does. Like she does not acknowledge what's going on. And so I'm starting to freak out a little bit. I don't know why I got so scared, but I did. And I know this was like a big point of contention when we did the Patreon episode because like just seeing a child out of place, I guess that's the best way I can put it, like an out of place child is terrifying, right? Because, you know, your paranormal, my paranormal self was like, what is this? You know, is this black-eyed kid? Is this, you know, a demon? Is this a shadow figure? Is this just metaphorical for what I'm going through myself? You know, and you go through all these emotions. It's just, it's really heady, you know? And then, you know, you look at the dog and the dog's not reacting. And you're like, why isn't the dog reacting? And then you're like, you know what? We need to get the heck out of here. So I call the dog and I'm looking at the kid and I can hear him. And he's still calling like I'm scared and he's crying. And I'm like, we got to go. I don't know why I felt the urge to book, but I booked. And I'm pulling. And, you know, when I run, the dog runs. She just sees me and she runs. So we stop running. And we get like, look, I'm not a fast runner. So we get about, I don't know, 70 yards out. And I'm down, now I'm down in the holler and I'm looking up. And, you know, it's in the opposite direction. And I can still hear the kid. I'm like, why can I still hear the kid? And I turn around and the kid is kind of in the area where I just was. Not exactly, but he's there. Like he made his way to that area and he's still chilling in his hoodie, you know, just kind of crying and being like, oh, why am I here? So now I'm like, totally freaked out. Like this kid covered that much ground and as much ground as I covered. So whatever, I'm a grown ass man. And this is who knows. And I freak. And I run home. And like, you know, what you're getting from me right now is a genuine reaction because this is, you know, not something I talk about that often. But that, I mean, it freaked me out. You don't just walk through the woods and see kids. You don't do that. Like, that's not normal, you know? I mean, especially if I've walked that path 100 times. Like, I come home and walk the dog. It's all good. And now all of a sudden I'm seeing a kid. That's not a kid. And especially if it's playing against my ego, you know, my whatever, you know, it's playing against me as, you know, and we talked about this, you know, I don't think it was, you know, the black eyed kid scenario. Like all these things I think are kind of demonological in some way, shape, and form. And the fact that this happened to me within the year of seeing Anne, which was, you know, crazy, kind of made me feel like maybe I opened myself up to something, which kind of made me back off the paranormal for a little bit. But like, I've never been so freaked out from a kid. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
Now, JP, how did it make you feel? I mean, obviously you ran from it, but yeah, how did you feel about seeing it? Because you, on the Patreon live chat, you were very specific about how it made you feel.
I said it, and I stand by this, it was incredibly visceral, like incredibly. All the blood in my body went right to my gut, and it was like, get the hell out of here. Like it was a visceral reaction. It wasn't like, oh my God, I hear a kid. Oh, well, this could be some type of demon trope. Oh, maybe I should investigate this. It was just like pure, abject fear. Like if you felt that fear in your life, it's really hard to explain unless you felt it. It's kind of a jarring type of fear. You know what I mean? It's I don't know. It's really hard to explain. Like I said, like your blood goes to your gut. I guess, I don't know. Biologically, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just, it was horrific, you know? And I don't understand why a child would give me that type of reaction. But yeah, it was visceral. It was intense.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I don't know if you've ever read Stephen King's The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, one of my favorite Stephen King books, but it's about a girl that gets lost in the woods. I mean, you know, it wasn't like, not for one second did you go, oh my God, there's a lost kid. I need to go over to that kid and see what's wrong. I need to help.
No, not for even a second, which is disturbing on a couple of different ways because, I mean, I guess this is what I've been playing with. You know, when I saw it, like I had a visceral reaction and I have like a background in demonology and talking to you for years. I know what things can manifest as. So, you know, this is kind of going on in the background of my head. But in the forefront of my head, it's like, it's a child. Why am I terrified of a child? And that hits harder on a deeper level, I guess. For me, anyway.
Now, once you see this kid, you turn and run. You stop. Because you're like, why do I still hear the kid as if I didn't go anywhere? And then you turn around, and the kid is now against another tree. Is he in the exact same pose as before?
He is. Yeah, he is. That is so weird that you asked me that question. Because he was. He was in a hoodie, a red hoodie. And he was looking down. I never saw his eyes. I mean, this idea that he's a black-eyed kid, you know, I don't necessarily believe that. I mean, I think demons can take all sorts of manifestations and misdirections. But I never saw his eyes. But he was always looking down. And that's horrifying. I mean, it's horrifying.
At least he didn't do the whole, like, slow, like, pick the head up and turn to the, you know, to the right to look at you. I think you might have had a heart attack right there.
Yeah, seriously.
At least there wasn't that.
I mean, he's like, I mean, I got to be honest with you. It's hard to quantify. It really is. Because there were times when I look back on it, I'm like, you know, I know what he was wearing. I know what he was saying. I know the volume and the pitch at which he was calling out. But, you know, when I recall my memory, I'm like, was he wearing a backpack or was he not? You know, like these little weird, like odds and ends and shit like that. That could make it weird or not weird. But the fact that, like, you know, there's a kid in the middle of the woods is weird. You know, and I wasn't, like, I'm not prone to, like, the paranormal, even though that's all we talk about. Like, it's not my first, like, go-to. It's not like, oh, look at that. That's weird. I'm just like, oh, look at that. That's normal. And then if it proves me wrong, then I write it down and I revisit it. But this interaction was just so visceral and just disarming, you know? It was just, ugh. Man, it creeps me out just to talk about.
What about his clothes? I know the red hoodie, but what else was he wearing? And was there anything strange about what he was wearing? And if there's nothing, that's fine. You know, if you don't remember what kind of pants or whatever, that's fine. I'm sure a red hoodie would stand out, and you're probably focused on his head, just crossing your fingers and toes. He wouldn't turn towards you.
Yeah, he was pretty generic, aside from the hoodie. I mean, he looked to be pretty generic. He looked to be an average size 10 to 12 year old boy wearing probably cargo pants and sneakers. But you're right. The red hoodie kind of stood out to me. I mean, but I did pick up on the rest of it, and the rest of it was painfully normal, which is adds to the creepiness, I think.
All right, this didn't come up on the Patreon live chat because I just thought of it. Do you think maybe possibly there was two of them?
That's a good question. No, actually. I mean, I can't say no. I can't.
Yeah, it's complete conjecture, but it just popped into my head because, you know, with the sound not changing a whole lot.
Well, we didn't even talk about the fact that the dog didn't see any of it. I mean, I know I laid the foundations of the dog, but this whole entire process of it following me and me being weird. And then, you know, the next day when I came home and I was like, all right, got to take the dog for a walk. Where are we going? Oh, the same place we always go. Hope we don't bump into some weird kid. You know, so I was back there the next day And the dog never reacted, which is the weird part, is that, you know, the kid was sitting there, like, screaming, like, I'm lost. Help me. Where am I? I'm scared. And the dog didn't react to any of this, you know? So that's I guess, kind of the lead up to me talking about my dog and how insane she is that she didn't see any of this. Any of this. Like, this was like, this was a soul reaction from me and whatever. The fact that the dog did not react freaked me out afterwards, right? It didn't freak me out in the moment. It just freaked me out afterwards. Because I was just, like, shocked. I was like, why didn't you go after anything? Like, why didn't you, like, attack things? You know, like, what is going on? And, you know, she wasn't reacting in a way that was like, let me out of the house. You know, there's still, because that's what she does. Like, if there's things outside, like raccoons and possums and foxes, like, she wants to go out. And she wants to, you know, go after them. She was just completely docile. And I was just befuddled. I mean, completely. I mean, she had absolutely no reaction to whatever the heck this was, which that is, to me, that is just weird. You know, I don't know how that could have happened.
Because that was a demon tailor-made for you, buddy.
Well, that's the weird thing. And I mean, Shannon, if you don't learn anything from me in the last 7 years, right, it's that the devil can cater to you, right? I mean, I've said this from day one. The devil, you know, everyone's like, oh, he talks theology. He's all good. You know, let's listen in on some demonology. And, you know, it's fun. I believe in this stuff. And, you know, the devil knows exactly what you're afraid of. And for some reason, I'm afraid of kids. I am, like, terrified of kids. I don't have kids. I'm not going to have kids. Like, there's a reason I don't have kids. You know, it's like, I don't want kids. You know, they freak me out a little bit. I'm like Orson Welles when it comes to kids. It's like, they weird me out. They're like little humans that are terrifyingly weird. I can't get it. Like, kids freak me out on a, like, a base level. I don't talk about this to anybody.
You should not have probably said that out loud to the ether, because now the woods are going to be full of kids.
Release that to everybody listening to the show.
You've gone and done it now, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? You should be so lucky.
Oh, we'd have content for freaking years, dude. Are you kidding me? This is great. No, I'm just kidding. This honestly is, though, a horrifying experience. Okay. Oh, before I forget, just real quick. I think I know the answer, but I want to just cover all, you know me. I try to cover all the bases that I can. If somebody has a question, I'm trying to get to it. Somebody out there, I mean.
People are interested in me for some fucking reason. I swore again, I'm sorry.
Dude, yeah, where's your rubber band? Shoot.
Oh, I'm shit. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Remember the rubber band days? The rubber band.
I do, Shannon. You're reminding me.
What was the rubber band for? It was...
When I used to say, I think it was to say
Was it for I don't
think it was for
It was for something.
Oh, no. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that, yeah. You know what I mean? Or you know what I'm saying? That's what it was for. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because you had to prompt. You would prompt your students. That's why you said it. So it was for a good reason. You know what I'm saying?
That I hurt myself for you.
Hey, whatever we got to do to have good audio, okay? This is what we do for the listeners. Okay. So, again, I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Who cares? Which one was closer to you? The first sighting or the second sighting?
First one.
The first one was? Okay.
Seemed to have outrun the second one to some degree. The only reason I think I saw the second one is because I was in, like, shock of the first one. And I was like, where's my dog? Where am I? You know, where's my gun? Like, what's going on?
Okay, but that also brings up a good point. If you had stopped every 10 feet, would you keep seeing him every time in a different spot?
I don't know the answer to that, and I don't want to know the answer to that.
Yeah. Yeah. You get home, he's leaning against your house. You're like, what the F am I supposed to do now?
You want in?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, he's asking, you know, take me home. I'm scared.
He's leaning against the house, snapping his fingers.
What is he in, West Side Story now?
I'm saying. I would have been fine with that.
Yeah. See, okay, so this is like way reaching for probably nothing, and not you'll probably not have an answer, and it's so such a stupid question. Do you think there's any significance to the red hoodie for any reason? Like, do you remember talking about, I don't know, a missing person that was, I don't know, is that anything? Or is that just me just asking a dumb question?
Nope, not at all. Because the hoodie was red all over and had black lettering. I didn't say that.
What? Oh, so it had black lettering where?
Just like on the front of the hoodie, like it was advertised, like it was like a high school.
So you hoodie. Did see, yeah. I saw him as like.
It's like in a complete like black, like red hoodie type thing.
Well, no, I mean the way that you saw him, I assumed you had seen him almost in profile, like the Marlboro man, like leaning up against a tree, like.
Oh, no.
It was like it a leg. Full,
oh. Like it was full daylight. Like I saw a child.
No, I know that, but I thought you saw him from the side, so I didn't know that you saw the front of the hoodie, so that's interesting to me. I just thought you saw him kind of with his back to the tree almost, you know what I'm saying? And then you saw, I just did your phrase, where's my rubber band? I thought you saw, like, his arm, his hip, and the side of his leg and the side of his head.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny that you say that, because that's the vision that I get from my old man story about the Hat Man.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I think he saw him like front on, just like a figure completely blotted out, waist high with a car, you know, bolts, and then he's behind him type thing. And I kind of always expected, I don't know why I always expected to have paranormal, you know, confrontation, but I always said, like, if I do, you know, it could have these earmarks or, you know, whatever. And one of them was that type of weird travel. I don't even know how to put a pinpoint on that. But it seems in stories, if you listen to it, whatever these entities are can kind of subjugate time and reality to kind of show up where they want to. But there was no mistaking that this kid was wearing a hoodie that was, you know, had the colors of my high school. Which was, you know, it's red and black. That's where I went. That's my high school colors, you know? And like, whatever, like high school is high school. It's weird. It's odd. It's, you know, college is even weirder. But, you know, colleges and high schools have their colors and, you know, silver and black, red and black, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that this kid was wearing a red hoodie with black lettering, and I really couldn't see it. You're right. Because I was looking at him from a front and I just saw black on his chest. And I just assumed it was lettering. Like, I didn't see whatever, my town's name, or, you know, I didn't decipher anything on his chest. I just saw black writing on the hoodie, and I just assumed, okay, you know, this kid is from around here, until he started screaming in my head, which is not possible when you're 100 yards away.
Maybe, yes. Maybe he was you. He's your creepy little doppelganger back from when you were 10 or 12, wearing your old high school.
Well, why would you say that? That's terrifying.
Your middle school, whatever it is, hoodie. That is actually pretty messed up now that it's said that out loud.
I want to see him doing something. That's so weird. Why would you say that?
Did the voice sound like anyone you would know? That's also a silly question. You don't really like kids, so you probably wouldn't know any kids that sound like that.
I mean, I do have you're right. I don't have. I mean, I don't know. He sounded like a kid. Are you trying to manifest this thing in my house? Oh my God.
I mean, you did that by saying, especially out loud, that you kind of, it's just like saying someone doesn't like clowns and things like that, you know, then you're going to see clowns everywhere. It's not going to be fun for you. You're going to break down at the clown motel and you're going to be an upset human being. But yeah,
that's the thing. This stuff never happened to me before that experience. Like, I've always been freaked out by certain tropes and gamuts, right? Like, you know, like I like werewolves, you know, like vampires, whatever, horror movies. There are certain things in movies that, you know, freak me out. And I'm like, ooh, you know, it gives me pause. But when it comes to like actual horror or, you know, actual experience, aliens freak me out like they really do. Don't think I've ever been abducted. I don't want to be. But it's not something that like collapses my headspace and I'm like, oh my God, I think about getting abducted every night. You know, it's just something that I'm afraid of, but kind of put it off to a distance. The same can be said for black-eyed kids or, you know, demonic kids. It's like something that existed in my head that I'm aware of, but that doesn't necessarily occupy space until it happens, you know? And when it happens, you kind of have to remove yourself from the situation and say, hey, is this, you know, is this a situation where I need to, like, you know, be involved as a human being and say, hey, there's a lost kid here? Or is this a situation where I'm going to have a story to tell about some weird thing that happened? Or is this going to be a situation where this is just between me and this demon and it's going to linger with me forever? Like, there's it's a multifaceted type of thing when this shit happens. And I don't think, you know, necessarily this shit happens. Considering that over the time I've been talking to you for like 7 years, you and I have been talking, and I've had one story about a gremlin, and then all of a sudden I've got another story about some weird crap in the woods, and like all this other stuff is flooding in, and my mom is flooding me with stories from people are inundating me with stories of weird stuff, all because they want to know what I'm doing when I say, like, you know, oh, can you hang out tonight? And I'm like, well, you know, I got to record. They're like, you got to record. I'm like, oh, I got to record my friend Shannon. I'm like, who? I'm like, well, it's this woman I never met who lives in the desert. We do this little podcast about weird things. And they're like, oh, let me listen. I'm like, no. seriously. Like, I'm sure you have friends like that, like, who just want to listen to your show, and you're just like, no.
You just know it's not for them, you know?
No, it's not. It's totally not.
Yeah, you know the people it's for, and the people that will be like, okay, well, this is
so just... So the patrons that we were on, like, I've never met them before, but I had such a great time talking to them, because they were, like, they were ready to chew me up, which I love. You know, I love it when people are ready to chew me up, because I come correct. And, you know, I'm looking forward to Monster Fest, where I actually get to meet you and all these people, and it's going to be awesome. You know, it's just fun. It's fun talking about this stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, I do take it seriously. You know, I do have this idea that, like, you know, when you and I say, all right, you know, this is the end of the show, you know, hey, thanks for coming on. Like, hey, good luck. Talk to you soon. We got some stuff cooking for Halloween episode. That's cool. You know, that's very cool. And then I have to go walk my dog after this. Like, that's a reality. It is 10:30 here on the East Coast, and I got to walk my dog through the woods.
Well,
I have to talk about some weird.
I will say that you've done this before, because you've been walking and talking. I would at least get the phone out and hit the voice memo app and just have it record, just in case. It just seems like, especially in subjects like this, it is true. Sometimes when you put it out there in the ether, it doesn't happen to me, really. I'm much like you, right? You call it a black hole. I say that I'm the paranormal equivalent of bear spray, all right? So we each have our own ways of describing that. But, oh, something about the patrons. They are such incredible people. We have such a good time. As you well know, you've been part of several chats with them by now, and we're about to have another one for Halloween. Actually, nice. I was going to run this by you right now. I don't care if it stays in, but I was thinking of titling it Halloween in Rhode Island with John Paul Capice. What do you think about that for the live chat?
Go for it.
I think that's pretty good, right? Awesome. Simple, to the point, and just because I'll just tease this right now. It is going to be very area specific. It turned into, and I didn't mean for this to happen, but John Paul has been driving around and researching and taking pictures in his area because, as he already mentioned, it is so rich in history and, I mean, unfortunately, deaths and myths and folklore. And so anyway, we're going to be covering that in what's probably going to be a very long live chat, I already know, and I'm very much looking forward to it, because it's Halloween centric. But
that's so cool.
Yeah, that's going to be probably next week. What's that?
Did you watch that video of Tower Hill Road?
Not yet.
Okay. That road is horrifying. I gotta tell you, like, this, so maybe we can call this like a little prequel. Maybe get people to sign up for Patreon.
Just a little snippet.
Just a snippet. I gotta tell you, like, Tower Hill Road always comes up for, like, Rhode Island scares and, like, the most haunted road in Rhode Island. And I've never driven down it, ever. Like, I've driven down so many other haunted roads, and I've just been like, oh, you know, that's some place up in Cumberland, you know, whatever. It's probably a two-lane highway, whatever. But I drove up there yesterday, and I sent you some pictures and some videos of driving down that road. It's terrifying. It's a, like, half lane. It's not even a full lane. Like, if someone else is coming, you have to ditch, or they have to ditch. Like, it is that narrow of a road. And it's got switchbacks, and I'm reading the folklore, like, on my way up there, talking about, like, little kids on tricycles that just peel out in front of you.
Oh, your favorite thing.
It was terrifying.
You're like, kids on tricycles, I'm out. You're like, Shannon, you can Google some pictures, you a-hole. I'm not doing this. Yeah.
It was so creepy. But for you, I drove up and down that road.
Well, I do appreciate that. God, especially after kids on bicycles, knowing what we know now about your proclivities of enjoying children's company. No, in the Discord chat, after when you came on the last live and we had our nice long chat and you told this, you know, for lack of a better term, your BEK story. We got in the Discord chat and we decided that... If we ever thought it to be appropriate that we would hire some child actors in red hoodies to go stand outside your place.
Oh my God, do not do that. I'll kill them.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that. Things go down in the Discord room that are mostly private between all of us, but I had to share that with you.
You know what? That's wicked funny because when I shared that story, everyone on the Discord chat was like, what are you, afraid of kids? And I was like, no, totally. I'm wicked afraid of kids.
You're like, let me explain, okay? Just put yourself there. You'll understand.
There's nobody afraid of kids until it's 2 a.m. in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. The second there's, you know, a woman screaming that you're pretty sure isn't a big cat, you know, that actually sounds like a woman, which they can be one and the same. I understand that as far as auditorially speaking, there we go. But babies crying and stuff and kids crying. No. That's a big no for me.
You know, it's funny. We talked about on the Patreon, and we talked about on the live feed about my interactions with the woman who I believe was completely possessed. And my reaction to both of them, and, you know, my reaction to being in company with the woman who was possessed was pretty docile. Like, I kind of went into that expecting what I was, you know, going to see or just whatever. But just completely walking around, just completely disarmed, and then having something happen to you is different, right? Because, like I said, you, I walk into a situation, you know, the situation, I'm in control, like, you know, I'm doing XYZ, and then you let your guard down, and then you walk into a situation that you're not in control of, is, you know, it's pretty intense feeling, regardless of what's going on, right? Like, you know, I could have been back there, and there could have been coyotes there, you know, hunting deer and digging up possums and things like that. But what happened is a very visceral reaction to the stimuli, you know, and I always believe, and I will always believe, that the stimuli is placed in your path for a reason. So to see, you know, a child crying out for help, and for my action to be just bolt and get the heck out of here, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. You know, one direction or another, it makes me a horrible human being, or it makes me the best human being, right? It makes me a horrible human being in the sense that I saw a kid and I abandoned it, or it makes him the best human being that I saw a kid and I deciphered my way to grace somehow through this evil thing. But it puts you in a position of extremes, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's hard to work in a world of extremes, which is why I try to work in a world of, you know, gray area. And, you know, the best I could come up with in a gray area is bail and think about it later. And that's what I did.
I'm just going to start sending you red hoodies and random just to... No, I just understand that...
If you make an ITF hoodie, like a red one,
yeah,
like with like stickers and like just a... Or even a jean jacket, like go full 80s. I will show up to that with Monster, you know, what is it, MonsterCon? I said I was going to MonsterCon.
MonsterFest. You had it right. You actually said it right the first time. MonsterFest.
Oh. So I'm going.
Oh, yeah. And all the patrons know you're going. They're like, oh, crap. Yeah. We're going to tear Canton down, basically, after the day festivities are over. Like, Canton's in trouble. But, no, I just know that in this instance, the fact that your dog didn't react on two separate visual occasions and then all of the auditory stuff that was going on was absolutely, bar none, probably the part for you that you just cannot get past. That you know this was something not from around here.
You know, it's funny because I focus so much on my own reaction, you know, because it's weird living through this type of thing. It's so weird because I really was, and I'm not trying to rehash this, but it, you know, it's important that I was a paranormal black hole for years. And then I kind of, you know, you dig. And, you know, we've talked about this many times on your show. You know, when you look into the abyss, the abyss looks back, right? So you got to be prepared for that. And I always thought I was. And I do think I am. But this situation, whatever you want to call it, caught me off guard, like way off guard. Obviously, you can hear in my voice and in my retelling of the story, it still hasn't quite caught up to my mind and how it's affecting me and how it's affecting everything else and blah, blah, blah. But you're right. The biggest physical, you know, because I've only had a couple of experiences, but when I listen to other people talk about their experiences, it's multifaceted, right? It's like there's a cerebral thing, there's a psychological thing, there's a philosophical thing, and there's a biological thing, right? There's like multi layers to an encounter. So, you know, people have an encounter, and it's weird because I'm going through the steps of this encounter in my own head as the encounter is happening, which is, you know, what is going on? Is this a, you know, is this a physical weirdness, or is this a metaphysical manifestation of my own physical weirdness? Where's my dog? You know, how far have I hiked? Like, so you have to appreciate like what happens, you know, when this stuff happens. It's just like you're totally thrown off guard, you know, because you've done this 100 times. You're behind your house. You're off guard. It's fine. You know, like you're good. You know where you are. You know the trail. The trail's there. It's all good. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear, "Oh my God, I'm lost." You know, and it's like, what? You know, and instead of, you know, that eliciting some type of help, okay, let me help you, little boy, little girl, it just elicits fear. Like that's just weird. It shouldn't do that. And the whole time you're elicited upon about fear, your dog's just rooting around looking for possums to kill. So that was just disarming. And I've told the story about 4 times now, and I don't think I've completely captured the actual essence of horror that a little kid can instill upon you. But it's real. I got to tell you, it's real.
Well, I'm sure that you will, but I honestly think that at least for tonight, maybe just, you know, just run some kind of recorder or have it ready or whatevs, you know, just in case. I mean, it's dark out. You're not going to record any video, but if you hear something, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you see something, say something, right?
Like a kid ghost.
Yeah, dude, neighborhood watch. Wait till those child actors get there. I'm telling you what, you're gonna love me and the patrons.
Do not tell me.
All right. Well, as mentioned, this is the first of at least one, probably two more for Maine. But Halloween in Rhode Island with John Paul Capice, MTS is coming up this next week. Obviously, because Halloween is very soon. This is Halloween. So looking forward to that. You guys have plenty of time. Join up on Patreon. You get all the bonus episodes, blah, 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 blah. You guys hear me talk about it plenty and the things that we do over there. So, all right. Well, this is the end of the show. Thanks for coming on. And JP, let's hear your closing phrase, my friend.
Well, I'm adding a new one. It's so weird on Patreon. Like, you need to be there to experience it.
It is weird, isn't it?
So everybody, punch your ticket to the Patreon that is Shannon LaCroix. Otherwise, cue Alan Watts.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bark. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes. And consulting our memories. And then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
has the same idea in his poem, The Four Quartets, where he says, when you settle down in the train to read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELDWYN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELDWYN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.